Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We are back on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Let's take a quick look back at the game from yesterday. Cowboys now 3-0, and that is something that we can all be excited about. And to be quite honest, we all were sitting here before the season saying they should be nothing less than 3-0 at this point. So it's a very exciting time, but I know during the game, I tweeted out right around halftime that it wasn't a fun watch. The second half, they turned things on. But a lot of people upset that the Cowboys didn't just put a college score on this team, that they didn't go out there and outscore them 67-0. And I totally get it. 877-881-1053. What was the biggest problem you had with yesterday's game? And is it something that you can get past? Is it something you can look past and say, that's perfectly fine, we're moving on?
I think the answer to mine is no, and this is going to be problematic, is your pass coverage on intermediate to deep passes and over the middle. I think it's starting to prove more and more problematic. You saw Cheeto get beat time and again in that game.
Yeah, they took some, they went downfield.
Yeah.
That was something I was listening to before the game. Charles Davis was on with Ari and RJ in the pregame, and they said, what do you think about this, about what you're going to see today? And he said, this is a team that has nothing to lose. So you're going to see everything. You're going to see them do the flea flickers, and you're going to see them onside kick. And then they did. And he said, and you're probably going to see them try and max protect a lot and go downfield. And they did. They would send two receivers out and try and take shots downfield with Rosen.
And that's problematic because you saw glimpses of that in the first two games. And look, I think it's great that we're talking about what's the part of the team that you would like to fix, instead of like so many seasons where we've been like, is the season already over?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like I prefer this much more. But just looking at it, that is a part of the team that I think could be a little problematic. And obviously that works hand in hand with a defensive line not getting a consistent amount of pressure.
Right.
You like to think that like maybe that's why some of those opportunities are available, because you're not harassing the quarterback. And when you don't do that, well, they got more time. When they got more time, I mean, like, look, if you have an unlimited amount of time, eventually someone's going to break free from the guy who's chasing them. That's just simple tag logic. And so that's the part was problematic in that game in particular to me.
I know that they only gave up 6 points, but I don't think last year's defense would have given up even that to this squad, unless I'm just remembering differently or seeing things that rosier in the past than they were. But the defense to me as a whole, not just the DBs, but the linebackers, the defensive line, everybody seems to be not as either focused or in the right spot or making the right play. And I don't get me wrong, I'm not down. This team looks amazing. They've played some poor opponents, but you do what you're supposed to do to poor opponents, and you're supposed to whoop them. And they've whooped the poor opponents. That's what you're supposed to do. But I just don't feel like the defense is as attacking as it was with the linebackers and with the defensive line. And I think that's causing your defensive back problems. They're not going to throw to Byron's side. So Cheeto's going to be the one they're going to throw to on his side. And I think that's adding to the problem that you see, Kevin, is the fact that the defensive line and linebackers are just not getting after it the way that we're used to seeing them get after it.
Okay. And I think for me, I've had a couple of problems with the offensive line in certain areas and holding, but that's it for me.
Sure,
you know, like there were a couple of plays that should have been touchdowns. You know, Zeke had a touchdown that was called back. There were a couple of plays that weren't what they were supposed to be, and I was like, what? How did we get a hold on that? How was that? How was that? And Colby, I think it is a little bit of a lack of concentration, and I wonder if it was the opponent. And I wonder if it's been the opponent.
Right.
And if it has been, is that something that they can change now that they have? Look, you got to go into New Orleans. That's going to be a tough place. I mean, it just is a tough place to play. So are you going to be able to be more focused for this game? And if so, you have to have clean offensive series up and down. Now, the great thing is 3rd and 20 situation, they throw it to Jason Witten and pick up the first down.
Mm-hmm.
You never do that on 3rd and 20. He's getting you 10 yards.
Yeah.
But they have been able to, grow out of or get out of those situations where they've suffered a flag, and it's been able to turn around for them. They're because their offense is different than it has been in the past. They don't just run a draw play as soon as they get in the 1st and 20 situation.
We'll save that for Cleveland.
Now, the second part of your question, you asked, can we get over it? I can get over that because I saw, you were talking about flipping a switch and elevating. I saw a team that was like, hold up, during the middle of the game and go, let's flip a switch.
Yeah.
Let's ignite. Let's go.
Yeah.
And they did. So when you see that, you realize that there is a switch to flip. I wish they would just keep it on and not worry about having to go over there and flipping it. But there is a switch to flip, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, no, that's the second half, and we'll talk a little more about what they did there, but they just made their adjustments, and that's mm-hmm. all they did. But I haven't seen this team come out hot. You know, they worked their way down the field on that first drive, and it looked easy. That first throw to Amari Cooper, where he just destroyed Xavier Howard, like he runs an in and then just curls and goes right, and it was wide open. It was beautiful. But I haven't seen them come out and just be, all right, this everything's clicking, and we're going to be done with this by halftime. But they could have, but they ended up having to turn it on later on in the day.
And I want to point this out because I'm sure at some point, and you heard Jeff talk about it a little bit in the cross talk, that you'll get a little bit of pushback. But the whole reason that you're able to have these conversations is because this team is so good.
Yes.
You know, like you're 3-0 for the first time in 11 years. So in case, like, I don't want anyone to think that we're disappointed by that. We're all like, hey, this is the greatest thing that's ever been. But what happens is when the expectations get raised, like you start to kind of micromanage it or like look a little bit closer, because that's all you have to do. Like, what else do you have to talk about in this game? Oh, it's awesome that we won. Like, I had already counted this as a win the second that I saw Miami play Baltimore.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
So that's why I think you get caught up in some of these things. But hell yeah, I'm excited that we're 3-0 for the first time in 11 years. But I did think that there were, particularly in the first half, a couple of concerning things. The second half looked like the unstoppable, efficient machine that will slowly crush every team they face into the ground. But before that, you were like, yeah, I didn't love all of those things.
From the 2-1-0, I think we have a problem with Cheeto getting picked on. Should he still start? Well, I think he's going to be your starter. He's one of the things they love about him is that he's a solid tackler. He's tough. He's one of those guys that fights. And I don't think he's going to just, roll over and give up on anything either. So I think that's one of the things that they continue to love about him. I don't think anybody's replacing him anytime soon.
And I'm not here to dispute that he's trying really hard, but he is the weak link thus far in the secondary, I think it looks like.
Yeah, but I also would like to see, I don't know how Jordan Lewis or Anthony Brown would respond if they had to take over his role, if they are his caliber, or if they're just good at what they do right now. And so, again, 6 points, I'm perfectly fine. Y'all throw it all up and down the field, but whenever y'all get near my end zone, you can't score on me. From the 469, Connor Williams still doesn't look strong against inside pass rushers. Dude has a beef body, right? Like, he put on the weight to become a man this year.
Uh-huh.
But you're still seeing there's some tough guys in the middle that he's getting beat up by. And that's not good because you don't want that pressure in Dak's face.
See, I mean, there may be a little bit of that, but I've really seen Dak Prescott just having a whole lot of time, and Connor Williams is part of that, where he's having a whole lot of time back there. I think this guy's talking about the taco sack. I think Dak actually just said, hey, you need a sack, buddy?
Just kind of rolled over there and was like, hey, it's your turn.
I was really glad to hear that, like, that even had to be addressed by Jerry, where he was like, I mean, we're fine with our decision. We'll see how everyone feels 3 years down the line. I was like, oh, somebody's a little salty. Like, don't tell me he wasn't angry about that sack being given up.
From the 817, biggest problem is the idiot fans that overreact to everything.
Woo! Hold on, does that include us?
That's part of being a fan, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, we can overreact. Kevin, you tried to tell me this last year. I think I'm trying to absorb that just a little more. You told me for years, actually, I can be a fan. I don't have to think like the team. The team needs to think about certain things.
The team can focus on Miami all they want. I've been focused on New Orleans for the last 2 weeks, all right? I was all about that Seahawks game because I'd already chalked this thing up as a win. But that's why I'm allowed to be a fan and do this and not be a player, because I would be in the locker room and be like, oh, the hell with this. We can come out and do whatever we want. Like, think about it. And they kind of did. Like, there was a big bag of steaming garbage in the first half, and you were still winning, and then you put your foot on their throat in the second half.
It never felt like you didn't have control of that game.
No.
Right?
You know what I thought most of the time? God, we're going to win this game by an amount of points that's going to agitate me. Like, that's what I felt like. I never thought, what if we lose? At no point ever.
If you had won that game 10-6 yesterday,
I'd have been pissed.
Right. And but then would we have been had a whole different slew of questions? Like, would you have been doubting your team because, hold on, they didn't beat the Dolphins by 40. They didn't cover the spread. You know, and how many people lost their mind when they finally made that touchdown to cover the spread? But if they would have come out and won 10-6, it's still a win, right? But now everybody's like, hold on, is Dallas as good as we thought? The fact that they put 31 on them, now everybody's like, okay, they are the team we thought they were. That's exactly who we thought they were.
I think that you're right, that second half went a long, long, long way to making people settle down. Because you can complain all you like about Miami being terrible, but at the end of the day, you defeated an NFL team in an NFL game by 25 points. And, like, that's the end of it. So you can say, well, I didn't like this or I didn't like that. But I don't think you can panic that much, because I can go, yeah, they won by 25 points.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, oh, well, but and their last home game, they were going to win by 25 points or 24 points before they gave up the garbage touchdown because they literally didn't care anymore. All right, so basically you've played two home games and essentially won by 50 points.
That's pretty good.
So, yeah, that'll work.
From the 903, I loved it. I wouldn't want them to give New Orleans or Green Bay any film to study. So they went out there with a vanilla game plan yesterday and were able to execute it and win. And now New Orleans and Green Bay are like, hold on. We really don't have anything. They haven't shown us anything yet. I mean, they're just basically running regular plays out there. Please forgive my pessimism, but I saw Leighton Vander Esch miss a few tackles yesterday and leave his feet starred down, in my opinion. That's multiple shows right there in some of the bit segments that they're utilizing.
And the Leighton Vander Esch, and, you know, we had to talk about some people were worrying about a couple plays that maybe Jalen didn't make. I'm not here to tell you that this was a highlight reel game for every single person, and every single person looked their absolute best. All I know is at the end of the day, you took a chump team and you pounded them.
Mm-hmm.
Did it take longer than I wanted? Well, hell yeah. I said that I was going to be disappointed if all the starters were in there after the first series of the third quarter. And I was, because you knew going to halftime, well, obviously they'll still be out there because it's a 4-point game that if not for a turnover, you could have theoretically been losing at the half. But then I went back and checked out what the Patriots did with the Dolphins, and the Patriots and the Dolphins game was like somewhat close for the first half, and then they slaughtered them in the second half, and that made me feel a little bit better. And then when you saw like the Patriots were also playing a feeble team yesterday and they didn't cover the spread, and that made me feel a little bit better. So I, you know, there's things like that that I'm like, well, it's gonna be fine. Like, we're all gonna be fine.
From the 469, my biggest disappointment was that I couldn't talk trash to my friend who's a Dolphins fan because he accepted a Dolphins loss before the game even started. So it's like you're like trying to talk trash to them and you can't because they're just like, I know.
Look, that person is really smart because they've adopted the something's wrong with you, but you're going to take care of it by like preemptively throwing out the thing. You're like, yeah, at least it's not as bad as my giant forehead. And everyone's like, oh, man. Now I can't make fun of your giant forehead anymore.
You still can.
I mean, you can. It's just not as effective because you already threw it out there. So I think that's what that person was doing. Like, the Dolphins are the giant forehead of the NFL. And they have just gone ahead and said, we're going to mock it ahead of time so you got nothing. And it's a good strategy. It is.
From the 469, I'm going to flip it and say the pass rush, but the way the offense plays, it may not matter. And you know what? That could be the thing. This offense may carry this team this year, and the defense only has to come up with big plays when it needs to. Or second halves, the way that it did yesterday, where they put the pass rush on them in the second half but didn't have to do it in the first. So that we may see an evolution as what this team actually is this year. And it might be it's a fun ride. It's an absolute blast because this team is 3-0, and we're not worried about, oh, can we win against the best teams in the NFL? The other thing I will say one more thing. That is, our secondary. I need them to start catching balls. I need them to start working on being receivers because, man, can you imagine? Can you imagine how many times the ball got tipped or touched or almost caught? If they were converted to interceptions, what this team would be doing to people?
No, I can't because I haven't seen it.
We might even be 4-0 right now.
Absolutely. Maybe 6-0.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Pretty sure that all checks out. Coming up next, if you were power ranking the NFL quarterbacks right now, where does Dak sit? See how delusional some people still are.
I'm ready.
877-881-1053. We'll do it next on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. If you're going to rank the quarterbacks today, where does Dak stand for you? 877-881-1053. The guy's been playing out of his mind. He has the second highest rating right now in the NFL, just behind, Patrick Mahomes. That's right. And I'm looking at some numbers here. He's just off the charts. At the moment, he's a top five passer. And I wonder, because we sat back and we went through it, Kevin, before the season, and we started saying, hey, this is a top 15 quarterback. I mean, that's perfectly fine. That's a good guy. But since the season has started, and you can be like, oh, my God, he's playing against terrible opponents. That's fine.
That's all I have to judge off of. If you want me to put together some hypothetical thing, I could work on that, but that is based on nothing.
He's making everybody look bad. That's the thing. He's making everybody look bad right now. So 877-881-1053, where do you rank this quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys at this moment in the top tier of quarterbacks, if you even have him in the top tier? From the 281, KNC, I'm not sipping the Kool-Aid, but Dak is first or second in 5 to 7 major quarterback categories, making him the second overall QB, only behind Mahomes. From the 5-1-2, tied for fourth with Lamar Jackson. And then from the 2-1-4, Brady, Mahomes, Rodgers, Dak, Goff, Carson Wentz, Russell Wilson. Guys, are y'all – I know we're all homers here, and that's fine because we grew up here and this is our team. Are y'all feeling that Dak Prescott is a top-five quarterback?
Okay, well, first of all, he should definitely be ahead of Aaron Rodgers. And if you don't think so, here's a couple of numbers for you. Thus far, Dak has 250 yards more passing, is averaging 3 yards more per pass. He has 5 more touchdowns. And, yeah, he's been significantly better than Aaron Rodgers thus far this year.
Do you know who has more touchdowns than Dak Prescott?
Yes, I do.
One person.
Same guy.
One person. He's not even tied with anybody. He is the second highest in passing touchdowns right now.
Which is why...
Plus, his running backs are scoring touchdowns, too. So, the offense is clicking.
I'm going to put him at third.
Okay.
So, I'm going to put Pat Mahomes number one. of course. He's averaging like almost 400 yards a game, and he hasn't turned the ball over yet. How is that fair? And then I'm going to, as much as I hate this human being, he's a scumbag, I'm going to put Tom Brady at second because Tom Brady's numbers are close enough to Dak. Plus, Tom Brady hasn't turned the ball over yet. Like, he hasn't thrown any interceptions. So because of that, I'm going to leapfrog Brady over Dak, but then I'm going to put Dak third. And quite frankly, I think if you put him outside of the top five, you're being disingenuous as to what's been happening in the season thus far. And just remember, this is thus far. That is the question that Corey asked. It's not like how you project it's going to end or how it's going to be this or that. Like, thus far. And so I think thus far, he's third.
All right, I'm looking at this real quick, guys. The because what's the big complaint about Dak for the last few years? Didn't throw deep. You know, he's a picker. He just throws short, and that's all he does.
Not this year.
20-plus yard completions, he is eighth with 13. Mahomes is first with 18. So he's only five fewer than that. 40-plus yard completions, he is tied for, like, third with four or with three. Mahomes has eight because that's all he does is throw it deep. But, yeah, that's another number where you're seeing he's making completions downfield.
And the metric that a lot of people will use for that is average yards per attempt.
Mm-hmm.
He's second in that. And if you don't know by now who's first, I really don't know what you've been listening to the first 5 minutes of this segment.
Pat Mahomes?
Yes, it is definitely Pat Mahomes. So, yeah, I say he goes third. What say y'all?
I have, of course, since it's right now, so because Drew Brees isn't playing, that's the only reason why he wouldn't be in my list.
Sure.
But if you added in Drew Brees, I've got him fifth. If you don't, I've got him fourth. And it's Pat Mahomes. It's Tom Brady. I like Russell Wilson's game right now a whole lot.
I thought about Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson also has not turned the ball over, so that consideration came up.
And then Dak Prescott. And after that, Phillip Rivers, Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, and Deshaun Watson.
Interesting. Lamar Jackson, everybody was so hyped on him. And I'm wondering if he's going to make his way up or did losing to, you know, going toe-to-toe with Mahomes kind of stifle what a lot of people think about him.
It doesn't stifle. I know he's gotten tremendously better at throwing and his accuracy and all that. I guess my brain just when I see his throwing motion, it still throws me off a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I know it's one that he can use. It's just I don't like how tall he is in the arm slot that he uses.
Okay. The turnover yesterday was Dak getting greedy.
Mm-hmm.
He even said it.
Yeah.
He was like, I got greedy. I saw something downfield. I wanted to do it. And that's what we've been telling him. That's what we were so proud of him for not doing for the first 3 years of his career.
Was that an old throw to you then? Like, I know it was only sporadic, but when I saw that, I was like, what the hell was that? That's some crap that you would roll out 2 years ago when Zeke was gone.
Yes. And I was kind of turned off by it a little bit because that's not this Dak. That's not this version of him. But whatever he saw, and I haven't seen all 22 yet. I'm gonna watch it. But whatever he saw downfield, the route combination he had on his left side didn't work out. And he said, I was just going to try and throw something downfield and try and pick up a big play when I didn't have to. He could have thrown that one out of bounds. And I think on like the next play, the next time he had a chance like that again, he just threw it right into the ground. He was like, I'm not even going to risk it. What was I doing on that play?
The lack of effort in that throwaway was spectacular.
But I also kind of love it because when he's trying to strike, he's trying to strike downfield. You know, this isn't a guy that's like, hey, you know what? I'm gonna always play it safe. I like a little bit of gunslinger in him. Do it at the right times, obviously. And you're also playing the Dolphins. You know you can go back out there and score against these guys. I'm not that scared, so I'll take some risks against the Dolphins. Maybe I don't do a throw like that against the Packers. Maybe I don't do a throw like that against the Vikings. But against the Dolphins, I'm perfectly fine with my quarterback taking a big risk like that.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm looking at ratings, Kevin, that's where I'm sticking with. And then at the moment, we got Mahomes 1, Dak Prescott 2, and I'm going to put them in that order. I'm going to put Dak Prescott 2, Tom Brady 3, Russell Wilson 4.
And I think that's like a fair gauge. If you put Dak anywhere between 2 and 5, that seems pretty reasonable to me. I think there's a couple people that are like at least this early, interchangeable enough. But how wild is that?
That's what I'm asking.
That some people are going to get bent at, how could you put him at four?
Right.
Colby, that's an outrage. Like, how crazy is that? Because you know what? Corey said something in the last segment that I wish I would have said something about sooner, but it took me a minute to process and just think, what a wild statement, especially since he's right. Maybe this will just be a year where you'll need the defense to step up and make a play every now and again, but it's just going to be the offense that's going to run things. All right. As we've all come to not expect thus far in the last 3 years. So it's been a wild turning of the tables over the first 3 weeks.
Well, they drafted Zeke with the mindset of he makes your defense better. Remember? Like that was Stephen Jones said, Zeke makes your defense better because he keeps them off the field and they have their legs in the fourth quarter. Well, then last year, the defense was damn good. And you're like, whoa, what is this? And you got Tank and he's going all out. And everybody's, you know, they're covering well. And that's how they beat the Seattle Seahawks. They covered better. And they were able to stop those guys. Well, and then now I'm looking at it and I'm seeing this offense and they're just pushing. They have Zeke, but they don't have to use Zeke to keep the game close. They don't have to keep it close because they're like, we can go out there and put up 30 points. Easy. And because we got Amari and we got, you know, Devin Smith. I mean, that's another thing, too. We got Devin Smith. We got Jason Witten, who's picking up yards after catch for the first time in his career.
Not the first time. Remember that time he ran down the field without a helmet on?
That was like once. You know, like
was that in 03? Yeah, like how many years ago was that?
I'm just pointing out it wasn't the first
Fair
time.
Fair enough.
He had three catches on Sunday where he didn't get tackled at the knees immediately or fall down. All three catches, he turned upfield and went for a couple extra yards, if not more than just a couple extra. But there are a lot of people that I think that are surprised to be looking at Dak right now, and you hear a lot of silence from a lot of the haters now because they have no fight. They're like, I don't know how to fight this anymore because he is good. And he's showing he's good. All the questions that we had, all the things we were concerned about, they've kind of been answered. There was a moment yesterday where he had a couple of balls that, you know, sailed on people or they weren't as accurate as he wanted it to be. But for the most part, man, he was just as good as he's been all season.
Let me address two of these things. From the 817, the ratings don't mean anything. Fair enough. We're 3-0. That work for you?
Yeah.
If that's all you care about, okay, first time in 11 years, you're 3-0. So there you go. And then I want to address this, because this is a fair question, but I think I have a fair answer to it. How much does opponent defense go into this? Not to be a downer, but defensive total ranking so far. Giants are 29th, Redskins are 27th, Miami is 32nd. That's three of the top five worst defenses. But why do you think that is?
Because like, the Cowboys put 30-plus on them?
The Cowboys are a huge reason of why that is. So that's a fair question and that's a fair point, but it's one of the things I hate too when you talk about like, well, look at your opponent's records thus far, but they never factor in the loss that you tagged on them. You know, like people will be like, oh, the Giants are 1-2. Okay, they're 1-1 if you don't include the Cowboys. So like I understand that they haven't played the best teams, but these are literally the only teams that you have played thus far and the only way I can analyze. And one of the reasons they're in the garbage position that they are defensive ranking wise is because of us.
Yeah, and add on top of that, Kevin, the fact that you didn't go out there and beat them slightly.
You hammered every one of these teams.
You put the boot to a bad team each time. Your points show that you treated bad teams like bad teams. You didn't treat them like a good team. You went out there and said, hey, they're bad, so let's go ahead and show that they're bad. Now, can the Cowboys do that against a good team? Can they do that against a good offense? Man, I have no worries about that.
Do you want to say qualms?
Qualms, yeah. I have no worries, qualms about the possibility of this team going out there and putting 28 points on a good defense because they've proven they could do it against the bad ones too. You hear a lot of silence right now.
Yeah, I don't know how you can hear that. Yeah. I was just letting you go. You're on a run.
From the 469, Mahomes number one, Prescott two, Brady number three. From the 817, I don't care if Dak wins 100 games in a row. I miss Romo. He was just fun to watch, win or lose. Fair. That's fun to watch this year.
That's, I mean, you can like both. I mean, one of them left, so it's not like you're cheating or anything.
Is there a part of me that's like, do I still have to reminisce about Aikman? Like, I've moved on. I've moved on to the new quarterback.
That's the way sports work. And by the way, when we told you that the Cowboys would probably be favored in all of their games up until that Patriots game in week 10 or 11, point spread on the road against the Saints, who just thumped Seattle
right
on the road. Cowboys are favored by 2.5 on the road.
So they're going to win by 5.
So that means in the neutral site game, Cowboys by 6.
So if you bet $1,000, you get 60. Is that what you're...
1,000.
60,000.
None of that is right. Since I'm giving you the point spread, if you bet against the point spread, you will win essentially the amount of money that you wager.
So do you use the 2 then? Is that how it works?
Okay, you need them to win by more than 2.5 points.
And if they do that, then you get more than 2.5 times your money.
No.
Okay.
You will essentially get one time
figure out this
your money.
Thing, Kevin.
So why bet? Because you're just getting your money back.
Yeah, I want to get
back. No. You get your money back plus that same amount.
So you win twice as much.
So whatever stack you give them, I'll send you a stack of the same thing back, more or less. I don't want to get into the slight percentage that you don't get because then y'all's head will explode.
Can I bet like a short stack of pancakes then?
I bet there's a place you could find it. Man, would you want to go gambling at the what about the GHOP, Gambling House of Pancakes? Would you hang out there?
Yes, I would.
Yeah, you would.
Also, somebody said they would not trade Dak for anybody but Mahomes right now.
Okay, as long as you throw in Mahomes, because if you're like, I mean, as much as I love Dak, like, we'll send
offense.
You Pat Mahomes.
Yeah,
I'm like, all right,
he's the offense for that team
right
now.
Let's go ahead
now
and do that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, hold on. Does Antonio Brown have a good point?
What?
We'll discuss next right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This segment of the KNC Masterpiece is brought to you by Bill Dickinson's group of dealerships. You can check them out online at DallasTruckWorld.com, Mesquite Mitsubishi's at MyMitsu.com, and of course, there's always Southwest Kia at SouthwestKias.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors and Kevin Hagelin, Colby Sapp and Reggie. We're all in studio this evening, going until midnight tonight, so stick around with us. We got plenty of stuff to discuss, especially on a Cowboys Monday. It's nice to be on air during a Cowboys Monday.
Yeah, what's
Victory
the story?
Monday.
We used to always have to wait until Tuesday to talk about the Cowboy game, and it's already been...
Just wait. In 36 hours, I'll have some thoughts for you.
Yeah, and it was already beaten into the ground. I was like, oh, man.
I mean, now you know what it's like to work at another sports radio station in the Metroplex.
Josh Norman is allowing a passer rating of over 140 when the receiver he's near is targeted in 2019, by the way. Anyway, just want to throw that stat out there. Kevin.
Well, speaking of people getting torched.
Yeah.
What?
Antonio Brown burned all the bridges over the weekend.
Might have a point or two.
And Kevin is now an Antonio Brown fan. 877-881-1053.
I don't know if I would say that.
Was
but...
Antonio Brown right?
Okay. So I don't know what the hell's going to happen next because, like, today he enrolled in classes at Central Michigan. So who knows?
He wants that degree,
he wants
man.
That college degree, since he's no longer employable in the NFL. But he essentially said over the weekend, he goes, I'm done. He tweeted out, will not be playing in the @NFL anymore. These owners can cancel deals, do whatever they want at any time. We will see if the @NFLPA hold them accountable. Sad they could just void guarantees anytime going on 40 million, 2 months. We will see if they pay up. They won't.
Right.
I'll go ahead and give you a heads up. If you're waiting for that, you're not going to see the vast majority, if any, of that money. And so I thought he was just kind of complaining. I was like, oh no, you can't play in the NFL anymore because you might have some problems. Your life is tough. But then Then he made some pretty good points that I was like, is it possible that I'm absolutely on Antonio Brown's side in all of this? So he tweeted out and said, I'm going to go after everybody. Robert Kraft got caught in the parlor. AB speculations fired. Different strokes, different folks, clearly. I mean, like, I get the biggest difference is, like, the guy that owned the team wasn't going to fire himself. But
okay,
he does have an interesting point that the one guy was caught in the sex parlor where it looked like there might have been sex trafficking of human beings going on. And people were like, yeah, we'll all get over that eventually. But Antonio Brown gets accused of something, you're out.
By the way, did that just go away for Robert Kraft?
Pretty much.
No,
he paid a fine.
What was it?
Let me check.
$1 million?
Probably something irrelevant.
$100, like a speeding ticket?
And mind you, you got to remember, the Robert Kraft thing is not just about the fact that he liked to go get the rub and tug. The fact was, he was supporting what was, in its essence, a human trafficking ring, right? Like, that was the accusation that was levied.
It looks like the fine was a maximum of $500,000.
Hmm. Okay.
But he got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but the NFL, because it's their 100th year and because they protect the owners, just moved on from it.
And also, it's kind of like tough to reprimand an owner. Like, this is one thing that's been interesting is when they've tried to, it's like, oh, yeah, we suspend you from showing up to your games.
And it's your business.
Right. You know, like, this is my business. The checks will still show up.
Yeah, this is my business. I am an owner. I run part of this business. I run a 32nd of this business. Is that how it is? A 32nd?
Yeah.
I mean, Jim Irsay, all his crazy stuff too. You know, those two situations. And then so I see what you're saying with Antonio Brown here. He does have a little ground to stand on to say, look, man, that's something. There's a double standard there. And there always has been.
And he definitely wasn't done either. And then he went after Shannon Sharp. And he said, Shannon Sharp's the funny guy on TV still after this. Back in 2010, his girlfriend filed a restraining order against him, said that he sexually assaulted her and threatened her life. To which point, Shannon Sharp just so cleverly responded by calling him Clown Tonio. Yeah, dude, good comeback.
Uh-huh.
So, like, that's kind of weird, too, that he is just hanging out on TV talking about the NFL. Then, of course, the biggest one of all, 4 games for Big Ben. Crazy world. I'm done with it. I mean, in the Big Ben Roethlisberger, that's a whole different set of things where people just accept that we're going to put somebody in the Hall of Fame that may well have sexually assaulted somebody, if not worse, if not for the fact that a Steelers owner who owned the bar helped the key piece of evidence magically disappear the day before the trial.
I'm interested, Kevin. He didn't play with Shannon Sharp.
No.
He did play for Robert Kraft a game. He did play with Ben Roethlisberger. So those two people, I
don't know
understand
what the connection is with him and Sharp.
Are there other incidents that he wanted to get after? But the other thing too, though, is this is how many games has he been suspended by the NFL?
None.
This is a guy that, because of his actions beyond just one incident and those texts that you saw.
Yes, which were bad.
Because of those things. That's why he's getting the treatment that he's getting. I mean, he did bring a lot of this on himself here. You know, forcing his way out of Oakland the way he did, forcing his way out of the Steelers the way he did. He seems like a lunatic.
I am most certainly not here to argue that Antonio Brown is an innocent bystander in any of this. I think that you're right, and he did bring all, or most, if not all, of this on himself. However, I do kind of see his point about how, like, certain people get charged with similar, if not worse, things, and people seem to turn their head. Like, you could make a strong argument that what's happening with the Robert Kraft situation was really, really almost equally as bad. I don't, like, want to compare them because that seems weird, but it's still pretty horrible, and everyone's just like, well, what can you do? And, like, the thing with Ben Roethlisberger is just as bad. And people are like, well, you know, he won a Super Bowl. And so, like, we just kind of moved on from that. And so that's the part where I do think that he has a point. You know what the sad part about the suspension is? And this is where the NFL is so stupid to me. If he gets put on the commissioner's exempt list, they can suspend him for, let's just say they suspend him for 10 games. You know what will happen with that? He could serve that 10-game suspension while not on an NFL roster. And then a team.
Isn't that what Greg Hardy did?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then a team can just pick him up and sign him and no suspension.
Huh.
Like, that's ridiculous that, like, this system is in place to really send home a message. And then what'll happen is, well, you could just hang out, do your classes at Central Michigan and all that, and, like, serve your suspension while nobody wants to touch you anyway because you're radioactive. And then once all of that calms down, because inevitably our society will move on to the next outrage or whatever, and then they'll pick you up and you'll be fine.
Yeah. Although, like, that's the strength and simultaneously the strength and the weakness of his argument here, right? Like, the idea is not you are being treated differently. Like, what he's saying is, he's pointing out all these situations in which, like, the NFL and our society have acted similarly all the way around, and he didn't even name a lot of other people that you can talk to. When it comes to these issues, we're not good at this. And I say we, meaning us in general, but the NFL in particularly, they're not good at this. The idea is just let's lay low and let this thing blow over. The problem with AB, as you mentioned, is that he wouldn't shut up and let it blow over. I mean, the Patriots were willing to play. In fact, they did play him against the Dolphins when this had come to light. The problem was he kept talking.
Yeah, if those messages, and that's the thing where I hope nobody else does pick him up so he gets like a minute to kind of deal with the repercussions or potential repercussions of all of this. If none of those text messages would have come out, it wouldn't have made a lick of difference.
Like, you say the text messages. This is about the tweets and the Instagram and like those things almost more
the
than those.
Video. Like, Kevin, I think that's the other thing, too. Like, the Patriots moved on from him. That's the last resort team, right? That's the last resort team that's like, this coach thinks he can work with anybody.
Sure.
What coach is looking at Tomlin and Gruden and saying, man, did you see how he embarrassed them? Please bring that guy to my team. Even the Patriots had to move on. So, but you're right. And Reggie, you're right, too. The NFL is bad at their levels of who's important, who's not. What issues to take and what issues to just leave alone and brush under the rug. The NFL's bad at it because they've done it for so long and there's so many players with problems. You know, there are 53 guys on every roster. And, there, you know, there's more to go along with that with every single team. And they're like, okay, you're right. We can just move on with the next thing that happens. We'll just let it happen and we'll move on from it. And that story will go away unless these reporters keep digging and then we're in trouble. You know, and that's why he was playing for the Patriots.
You know, it's funny that it is really fascinating that you use that last particular example because if the reporters keep digging, there could be trouble for them too. Because one of the other things that he tweeted out was system working effectively with a link to a tweet from the Daily Beast that Patriots fans threatened a Sports Illustrated writer who revealed a second sexual harassment claim. So, like, I took that as sarcasm and not a weird threat to go after journalists. But, like, that's another thing that's really bizarre. Hey, you uncovered that the player on my team might have sexually assaulted somebody. I'll show you. Like, that is a weird society that we live in when your thought is not, you should stop sexually assaulting people. The thought is, you should stop investigating the sexual assault for this person who's good at catching the football.
How are we going to win a Super Bowl if you guys keep talking about this story? We have to win more Super Bowls. No days off.
That's
the community that the Patriots have been able to build.
And that's the other thing that I hate about all this. The Patriots are just walking away and nothing's going to happen.
No, nothing's going to happen. By the way, if Antonio Bryant's quiet and serves
Brown.
What did Antonio Bryant do here?
Yeah, man.
Sorry.
I mean, it happens.
Sorry.
He's just tweeting out contract stuff.
Right. So Brown stays quiet, serves a suspension, whatever it is. Is he playing for another NFL
Absolutely.
team?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Without question. He might still be playing for the first NFL team if he is quiet.
He can't stay quiet, though. That dude cannot stay quiet. And nobody in his corner is telling him to be quiet either.
Well, I mean, they probably are. The problem is, like, we really have to have real questions about what Antonio Brown is between the ears.
See, that's what I think my best job in life would be. I would get fired at it a lot, but I would still be super effective, as I would be realistic hype man. Like, I would be in your crew, and I would hype you up whenever you needed to, but I would also be like, hey, man, you need to shut the hell up right now.
But I don't know if you saw Dez's tweet about the existence recently. It was on Sunday night. And he was like, look, a lot of the players in the NFL went through the same lifestyle of growing up, and when we got here, we didn't have family in our corner. We didn't have people that were pulling for us. All we had were a bunch of liars that we had to figure out who was lying and who was being honest.
Yeah.
And so it's difficult for athletes to have a certain kind of upbringing and then only have people that are telling them good things about them all the time just because, hey, that guy's my check. That's my gravy train right there. And so I don't think there is anybody, Kevin, that is that hype man that is also going to tell him, you need to calm down. Because why would you surround yourself with negative people? Why would you surround yourself with people that are going to be honest with you when you don't have to? I don't have to listen to your honesty.
And I think by the time people realize that they needed that person, it's usually too late. Like, it's not too late for him. It's just this first phase, it's too late. Like, now I think he realizes he probably could have used that person, and it's too late. So I hope he picks that person up this time.
From the 214 XFL, Andrew Luck, Gronk, Dez, Antonio Brown.
Man, this Dallas team is going to be awesome. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy, where, hey, maybe the Broncos can be as terrible as the Dolphins. We'll explain next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.